I have to be honest with you. I was wondering how many people would show up today. You know, usually after Christmas, it's a low Sunday. And I'm so proud of y'all. You know, it was yesterday that I woke up early. For some reason, I woke up early, and my dog was wanting to get out, and so I decided to take him for a walk. It was probably just before 7 o'clock as I walked him down the street. I live right down here on 23rd, and I was coming down to Saks, and as I walked down the street, and as I got closer and closer, I came to a house that I knew was being renovated, which, by the way, will really raise the price of my house, which is a good thing. But as I walked down there, all of a sudden I heard all this talking. It was Spanish that they were speaking in. And as I got closer and I listened to all these people, they were actually out front doing landscaping, digging ditches and everything else. And I mean, this is 7 o'clock in the morning. And they were all happy. This one gentleman looks at me and goes, "Good morning." And I'm thinking, "You're digging a ditch at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're happy?" But he was. It made me start to think, you know, what makes people have sort of a lightness to themselves? And what makes people heavier with themselves? Have you ever met somebody that is most of the time unhappy? You know, I know none of you are that way, but I mean, you know, where you've met them and they're unhappy? It's always funny because you say, "What are you unhappy about?" Usually say, "I'm not unhappy." But it's not that you have to be happy all the time. It's not that you have to have joy all the time. But there's got to be something that lifts you up in the world. Something that sort of makes you want to get up in the morning and get on with your day. Something that says, when I encounter somebody, I don't look for problems. I don't look for negativity. I look for positiveness. And I look for solution. That somehow, as children of the Most High God, we have to look beyond that sense of everything being broken to everything being put back together again. You know, in the gospel that we have today, it's kind of interesting. Because the gospel that we have, it's the prologue to John. And it begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." "In the beginning" is definitely written there for a real specific reason. It echoes first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's supposed to, in a sense, mirror that. But here it points to not God hovering over the waters and hovering over everything and making light and saying, "This is good." It's more pointed at that the Word, which is Jesus, the Logos, created everything. It says very clearly, it says that through him all things came into being. And without him nothing came into being. And what came into being was life. And the life was the light of the world. You know, there's a difference between being and being alive. There's a difference between being and being light. And this scripture is very clear that says that we as children of God encounter the living light, the living life, that we know him in a personal and magnificent way. You know, it was Albert Edward Day who once wrote, he said this, because part of the problem most people have is that they really don't believe that God is real. They don't believe he's real. You know, they just don't realize he's real. You know, it's not that he's not around. I mean, let's put it on the line here. He's closer to your heart than he is to your feelings. He's closer to your mind than he is to your thoughts. He's closer to your will and more intimate with your will than he is to your decisions. So what's the problem? The problem is your consciousness. Your consciousness. How many of us are conscious of him more so than not? How many of us are conscious that God is involved in our life and he's involved in our will? He's involved in our heart. He's involved in our mind. And so therefore, he should be involved with our feelings and our thoughts and our decisions. It's the reason why is because in some senses, we get swayed off you know, into other thoughts. We get swayed away from that consciousness of God. I mean, if you think you haven't, you know, think about it. How many times have you ever run into somebody, but you're so preoccupied with another thought, you walk right by them, even though you've known them forever? And when you look at them, you look right through them. And if you don't believe that, how many of you ever rode on 95 or I-4, and you're driving along, and all of a sudden you realize, did I miss my exit or not? Wait a second, where am I now? This all looks alike. And realize that you've gone, I'll never forget, this is probably 1999, I had been in Winter Park, and then I went up to Fort Walton. I was in Fort Walton. I got asked to come back and actually preach at the baccalaureate for Trinity Prep School. And when I came back, my mom, who lived in New Smyrna Beach, and I'd owned a place here since 85, I came to visit her. Well, I was coming from Winter Park to New Smyrna Beach. I'm driving down the road, and my mind is just so preoccupied with all I have to do. I drove right by 44. I got up to Daytona, came south on 95, got down to 95, turned off on the wrong direction, going back towards Winter Park again. Where was my mind? I mean, how many times in your life, you know, you say, well, I checked my mind at the door. You know what? It's because we're not conscious. So how many times do we do that with God? How many times do we forget that God is present in all things and about all things and with all things? How many times do we sort of get swayed in our awareness? It's in that awareness that gives us the ability to see things not from a heavy perspective, from a lighter perspective. It's in that relationship with God that somehow we can meet things with a positive attitude, even if it seems like everything's falling apart. It's in that space of trusting God and He being the light of the world that somehow we know and we're conscious of His presence to walk through all things with us and about all things. Do we live in that or do we not? Are we more aware of God or less aware of God? If we say that we're aware of God and we're you know, then you can't be running around saying, well, this is a real problem. I'm going to blame it. It's their fault. You got to stop blaming. Because blaming, all that does is it distracts it from your own self. And actually, it puts more on poor, pitiful me. See, life is tough. And I'm not saying that sometimes other things don't get involved to mess up the situation we're in, but somehow in the midst of it, God is present. And so if you look for God in all things and about all things, then somehow He's going to lead you through all things. Can you get on the other side of it? You know what? I hope this Christmas leads into a new year for me that I'm aware of the presence of God in all things and about all things. I hope I'm not swayed and distracted. I hope that somehow or other I don't get wrapped up in the worries of all these things or the problem that they are or the problem that I'm having. Instead, that I move into solution, that I move into positive. They move into light rather than dark. You know, it's funny about, oh gosh, it's got to be at least 20 years ago. My son was about 14 or 15. And he came to me. We were living in Fort Walton Beach at the time, and he was really into surfing. And so he and his buddy Matt wanted me to take him. They wanted to me to take them to Jacksonville because a swell was coming in on the coast. Now, Jacksonville from Fort Walton Beach, if you haven't driven it, it's a good 4 hours. You know, I mean, it's not just around the corner. And I'll never forget Ian coming. He goes, Can you take us? Matt and I really want to surf. There's going to be a great swell on Saturday morning. Can you take us over to Jacksonville so we can surf? And I said, you know, I got to work the next day, but yeah, I'll bring work with me. I can do it with you. And so, you know, he goes, great. We got to be there by dawn. And then I looked, I said, dawn? That means we have to leave by about 3 o'clock in the morning at the very least. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'll stay up with you every step of the way. And I'm like, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. Well, it didn't happen. I got them all in the car. They both fell asleep. Drove to Jacksonville. We got off. We went to Atlantic Beach, which is a great beach. I mean, it's all those big old houses, old Florida, you know, I mean, right on the beach. And we go out and we get on the beach, and the waves, they weren't as good as he made it sound like they were. But I went out for a little while, surfed with him a little bit, but they weren't enough to write home about. They kept on surfing. They were having a great time. And so I began to actually sit and write my sermon for the next day. And as I sat and wrote, at about 9 o'clock in the morning, this really attractive young woman comes out to the beach. Well, that got my interest in a different direction. And then she brought with her 2 yellow labs. And that really got my interest on. And I'll never forget, she had 2 balls for both labs, and she knew how to name them and say, here's your ball and here's your ball. And for a good 45 minutes, she was just playing ball with those 2 yellow labs. It was incredible. I mean, she was throwing it into the surf, and the labs were bouncing back and forth and loving it and barking and running up the beach and having a great time. And I loved watching that. You know, I mean, I just was so excited about it. And then all of a sudden it came about 45 minutes where she had to go back. And I'll never forget her looking at the 2 labs and start walking away, and she yelled both their names. And those 2 labs stood there like this, looking at the ocean, looking at her. They both had their balls in their mouths, and they went back and forth and back and forth. She got a little further away, and she called their names, and both of them went, and then they took off. They heard their master's voice. They were aware of their master's presence, and they chose to be with their master because that's where joy was really found. Where's your joy found? If you say you're a child of God, then you know what? Your joy has got to be found in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's got to be found in that conscious contact that you have. It's got to be found where all of a sudden you say, you know, no matter what life sort of hands me this year, in this coming year, no matter how difficult it is, somehow I'm going to be with him, I'm going to be in him, I'm going to be through him, and as the Eucharist says, I'm going to have intimacy with him. And I'm going to stay with him because it's in him that I have the light to be led through any difficult situation. It's going to be with him that I have life and life in all its fullness. It's going to be with him. I leave just being to being alive. This year offers all of us being alive no matter what the world hands to us. The question is, will we be conscious of things that sway us around and off from the attention to the living God? Or will it be more continually to have our conscious contact and a real sense, our consciousness liberated, emancipated. Emancipated from the worries and the fears that we have to be filled with the joy of God. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.